See lighting, card access, and camera controls for the entire state of Iowa. They can fully automate your building and improve efficiency, comfort, and security for your facility. Located in Ankeny, go to Woodman Controls and look for various high-end deployment opportunities in development, project management, field or service technicians, and many more for an outstanding automation machinery manufacturing company. My next guest, it's Maddie Nelson. It's Wide Right Natty Light. Maddie, how are you?
I am on the men's team. I've had strep all week.
That is not good. I'm glad you're feeling better.
But I'm finally on some antibiotics and can resume a somewhat normal life, even though it's been rough 3 or 4 days.
And that is not easy when you have two little ones that you do not want to have strep. So, and for that matter, probably the reason that you have strep too. So it's being a dad.
Most likely.
Yes. I have to tell a funny story, or at least it was funny to my wife and I, and hopefully it was funny to Matt too. So my wife and I are getting ready to go pick up my youngest son, who's a senior at Iowa State, and we're going to take him to lunch. And we're driving because we like to take the scenic view whenever we go, and we're driving, and I see this couple pushing a stroller, and I drive by, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, that's Matt Nelson. I slam on the brakes, and my wife's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, that's Maddie Nelson. I'm going to go say hi to him. And he goes, you're going to scare them. And I'm like, okay, but they're going to know it's me. And it was so good to get to see you, get to see the kids, and not have you want me arrested. So,
what are the odds, Dean, that you happen to be driving by
exactly
just right as we are coming back? And I don't think I had seen you with the girls since probably the state fair a couple of years ago. So
yep,
it was great to catch up.
It was. It was really good. And Happy New Year to you and your family.
Same to you and yours.
It's a happy new year if you are a Iowa State men's and women's basketball fan. Very exciting. I did not have a good feeling with Iowa State going down to Oklahoma. But they showed the one thing that was true last year, and it's true this year. Defense travels, my friend, and they got offense when they needed it, and they got stops when they needed it, and it was a huge win.
Yeah, you know, defense definitely travels. We learned that last year, and they showed that they can still go cold for, you know, 9 minutes and not get buried, which was something that they struggled to do last year. And boy, just what a gutsy performance to go on the road and win, and a 2-0 start is, you know, maybe you could hope for that, but I certainly didn't expect it or even envision that once we reached the end of the non-conference play. So what a fun win yesterday was, and what a great win the Baylor game was on Saturday.
It was, and boy, did they play well in that Baylor game. And we've talked a little bit. You know, when you lose somebody like Tyrese Hunter off of a team and you don't know what you're having coming and you don't know what some of these players are going to be like, and then when you see them in your first few games, I think people are starting to understand that the coaching staff with TJ and his assistants are really good at identifying talent that fits in their system, because they don't make many mistakes. I mean, Osuni coming in, Holmes coming in, King, who had without him, I don't know if we beat Oklahoma the other night, and
right,
getting as much out of Caleb Grill as they've had, and then I'm saving one, so I'll let you talk about some of those other pieces, and you know, you lose something like Tyrese Hunter, and you think, well, maybe we're going to take a step back, and we have not.
Yeah, and what a bizarre world to live in, right? Where Jeremiah, so you know, Taman was supposed to come here and play behind Tyrese. He leaves, then Jeremiah Williams is supposed to be the man, and who by all accounts is a great and proven, you know, high major player. And he gets injured and is out for the season, and now they push all in on Taman, and it certainly paid off for them, even though we're only, 13 games through the season. It seems like he's pressed all the right buttons, Dean. Even Trey King, I know he's not scoring points, but just watch their games. He is so fun to watch, the way he defends. He blocked, at least one shot last night, and he can get good rebounds. I think eventually we will see his offensive game start to pick up. He's got a nice-looking shot, and I think he can shoot from outside, judging by his highlights from his previous stops. So I think he's not only that, has he, you know, integrated these new pieces well, Steen, but there's also been good coaching of guys who've been on the team. Again, not quite a third of the way, or maybe just over a third of the way through the season, but Kalischer has been more consistent, and so has Caleb Grill. And then obviously you've seen improvement from Robert Jones. So it's really a pretty impressive job of both bringing in new pieces and finding a way to elevate those guys who are still on the roster.
And I proudly wear my Robert Jones hooded sweatshirt every day. I've become a huge supporter and fan, and probably not as much to do with him on the basketball floor, but it was the chance to get to meet him and understand just how great a kid he is.
A terrific worker and clearly loved by his teammates.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I think the surprising point for the season so far, and I'm going to take Gabe and Caleb, and I'm not going to talk about their offense. When those two put their heads down and they say, we're going to have a stop and we're going to play defense, they are fun and wonderful to watch.
Yeah, I don't know, Steen, that anyone had Caleb Grill developing into plus defender was on their bingo card.
No.
Not after the way he looked his freshman year. And even last year at times. There were moments, Steen, in that game when they had Kalischer and Grill on the same side on the perimeter, and the guards would try to go back and forth and play, you know, like a two-man. And those two just did not allow anything to happen. No. When they're both near each other, the you can tell that they're very familiar with each other. Their help defense is terrific, and some of that just comes from, you know, experience. Those guys have had some time to play together. But what a defender Grill's become!
He has, and I totally believe. Once again, we're talking to Maddie Nelson. He is help me out, Maddie. You're at M Nelson or at M underscore Nelson. Help me out.
M Nelson underscore ISU.
There you go. I did not think this could be true, but his defense has made Caleb Grill a better offensive player.
Certainly seems to be, right? We always knew he could shoot, but the consistency was never really there. And I don't know if being a better defender has kept him more locked in or it has earned him more chances, but those two things definitely seem to go hand in hand.
Okay, so now it's time. I thought at the beginning of the year, even before I knew that when Taman Lipsey came up to Ames that he was going to be a special player. I never said he'd be a great scorer, but I said he's going to be a leader the minute he steps on the floor. He's going to play defense. He's going to direct people. He's going to do all the things you need him to do. And if he scores, that's even an added bonus that as a freshman in the Big 12 shouldn't happen. He had 9 points right last night. He had an even better game against Baylor. I actually think he's surprising me, and I had him on a pretty high pedestal.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily the production that surprises me, or is even that impressive. Because if you look at, you know, 9 points here or there, it may not blow you away. It's the way that he handles himself, the way he runs the offense, the way he you know, captains the ship, so to speak, and calms everybody down. And then the type of tough buckets he's been making at the hole. That transition layup and one of his little scoop-in shots, I think with 2 minutes and 50 seconds left to go, I mean, those are not shots that you see freshmen making. And those are incredibly tough shots for a player of his size to go right into the lane and attack the rim. And that's something that, quite frankly, Steen, I don't think Tyrese Hunter was very good at.
No.
Tyrese was about the same size. He really struggled to finish around the hoop. So now Taman obviously has made 1-3 all year. So there's still parts of his game that are developing. But to see him be this aggressive at going to the rim this early in his career is not something I was expecting.
And he can go right and he can go left, which is for a freshman at a high D1 level, it isn't easy to do. And he's just it just seems to be natural for him. And I think that's so exciting. Moving over to the women's side, once again, Bill Finley and staff doing an amazing job last night, you know, playing a team that you know, I mean, they were 9-4. That mean that they're a pretty good team. And they had even scoring. Soares gets 20 boards. She gets 3 blocks, has 13 points. I mean, this team, I still think that they can make a pretty good run in the NCAA playoffs, and I think that they have a good chance of finishing in the top 3 in the Big 12.
Yeah, you would think as the season progresses, it's only going to look a little bit more even and uniform as they kind of get all the pieces put together and figure out how to incorporate Soares, which seems to be something that they struggle with at times in some of those early season losses. So I think, you know, to win the Big 12 title, which I think is probably their aspiration this year, Steen, it's what it's going to come down to is winning all the games that you're supposed to, and then finding a way to be competitive against some of those elite-tier teams. And I actually think that's something that Iowa State can do. Sure, they may struggle with Texas at times, but it's performances like they had against Texas Tech over the weekend and against West Virginia that just make this team so tough. And Oklahoma is probably a little bit better than those two teams coming to town this or as they go on the road this weekend. So that would be an absolutely huge win if they could pick it up. But I just think that's the strength of this team. They're so well-rounded and so good that it's hard to imagine them having an off night and getting taken down by, you know, one of the poorer teams in the league because they've just got so much shooting. They've got more size. They're great from the line. And as you saw against West Virginia, they can play some good defense. So the key challenge seen for their seeding and for the Big 12 is always going to be, it's really no different than it's been the last couple of years, and we've seen it in these losses early this year, which is when they're playing really good teams that are just as good or better, can they finish out the game?
Yep.
That's been something they've really struggled with, going back to even the NCAA tournament last year. I don't know what the ingredient there is, right? That's something that it's kind of hard to figure out. Coaching is no easy thing, and especially when you're playing really, really good teams. But I think Soares, by the end of the season, could make the difference there in giving them, you know, something offensively and defensively that this team just hasn't had before.
I agree. Once again, we're talking to Matt Nelson. He is at @MNelson_ISU. Okay, before I hop into the football, which I can't believe I'm waiting this long to do that, but we do have to give Kevin Dresser some love here with the wrestling program. I think they're overachieving, and maybe it's not overachieving. Maybe we just didn't realize, but the talent is better. His recruiting is better. And I think they're pretty close to getting back up there on top of that mountain again.
Yeah, we would be remiss if we didn't, Steen. They are a top five program and have a top five dual meet this weekend against, I believe, Arizona State. So you're absolutely correct. I think this has come together probably a little faster than anyone imagined. But if you go look back to Dresser's coaching career, that's kind of what he's been known for. And we know that he's a good coach. So I think the recruiting has been excellent. What's probably surprised me the most is the way some of their younger wrestlers have been performing.
Yes.
And they're only going to continue to develop and get better, right? And you may lose some to the transfer portal, but it's not like, you know, sure, there are some talented veterans that are carrying this team in some key spots, but they've got a lot of promise with some of those younger players. And I think if you're a wrestling fan, that's what you've got to be the most excited about.
We have plenty of time to talk about football, but I do want to talk about him a little bit. I, for one, thought this was not a surprising hire, but I think a great hire. Ryan Clanton coming to Iowa State. What's your thoughts?
Stoked, Steen. I was very excited.
I am too.
He's put some guys in the NFL, most notably Trevor Penning, in the first round. But think about seeing all those years, primarily back in the teens, when we talked about Iowa State playing UNI, why we all struggled, why we either lost or it was a tight game. The answer was usually the play of our line. We were almost always bigger than them, but they were always quicker and had better technique. And we always struggled against UNI on both sides of the football in the trenches, right? That was always an issue. It's not because we were not physical enough or not big enough, but they were just seemingly better coached. And I think they've always had good play. You know, he was their offensive coordinator this past year. So that obviously shows a lot of confidence in him to move him up to that role. And they had a very good offense this past year.
Yes.
So very clearly he's, you know, kind of a rising star. And I was absolutely stoked because I don't think Matt could afford to miss on this hire. Not that it was going to put his, you know, coaching in jeopardy or anything like that, but offensive line is just a key position And it's something we struggled at. And at some point, that's got to change.
With recruiting and bringing athletes in, and so far the transfer portal has not been unkind to us. Matt Campbell doing enough to try to change the atmosphere and the vision. You know, it's always been this way, and this year that way didn't work. Is he starting to do enough to find a different avenue to still bring that enthusiasm?
The portal is interesting in football, Steen. I think where there's basketball is a completely different story, right? Fred Hoiberg built Sweet 16 teams around picking guys out of the portal because you only need really 7 or 8 players in basketball. In football, you need a lot more than that. And I'm always going to be curious with, you know, how does even picking up as many as 8 transfers in college football, does that really impact your program in a meaningful way, taking these big swings? My gut tells me no. You're more likely to focus on, you know, maybe your biggest position of need and go after a couple guys who you know culturally will fit your program. A lot of guys are transferring for playing time, but there are some who aren't, right, who are transferring because they didn't like a coaching situation or maybe had some sort of other issue. Not all of them are bad issues, but there are a multitude of reasons why somebody could transfer. But I think it behooves you as a coach to make sure that the guy that's transferring is going to fit your team really well. And I think, you know, with the transfers that they've brought in, you've seen that. Colby Reeder played a really nice role on this team this past year. So I would expect them to still be active looking for a place kicker and would not be surprised to see them look for a few players on the offensive side of the ball as well.
Well, Matty, I appreciate it. We're going to have to get back together because we didn't even talk about the recruiting classes coming in for TJ. In TJ, we trust, my friend. Have a great weekend. Tell the family hello.
Will do, Steen. Thanks to you. Happy New Year.
Yep, you too. Matty Nelson, good to have him back in here. You're listening to Steen on Sports. B Styles coming up next.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Real sports talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at 1700 The Champ and at Steen on Sports. And Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. Website 1700champ.com. We have Northern Iowa versus Southern Illinois tomorrow, 12:30 pregame. And then you're going to get the Chiefs and Raiders, 3:30 kickoff on Saturday. Sunday, you get North Dakota State, South Dakota State. And then that night, you get Lions and Packers to finish off the NFL season. This segment is going to be brought to you by Palmer Group, an employee-owned company providing employment services since 1998. Finding a job has always been challenging, but in 2022 and 2023, now 23, it's now even more daunting. Palmer Group was founded to change the dynamic and focus both on clients and the candidates. The company's motto of getting candidates, companies on the same page to make things happen has never been more important or challenging. Currently, over 300 jobs are open on their website at thepalmergroup.com. Jobs in accounting and finance, admin, customer service, manufacturing, information technology, mortgage, and banking keep both staff and candidates very busy. Check out the website and find out what Palmer Group can do for you. I want to thank Palmer Group for that. My next guest, it's Brendan Styles. He's at The B Styles. Happy Friday, buddy.
Hey, Steen, Happy New Year. I hope it's 2023 has kicked off nicely for you here. I do want to get into last night, but before I do, I just wanted to say I'm really happy about the news that's, I guess it's come out of Cincinnati technically, but has been coming out of Buffalo here the last few days just with regards to DeMar Hamlin. That was absolutely frightening to see Monday night when the Bills and Bengals were in the middle of playing their game. It was a rather significant game at the time, but then that happened and it just, you know, it just kind of makes you realize like what's important, and to see everybody rally around him, to see the donations that were made to his charity over the last few days, and then just knowing that the trainers that were on site basically saved his life and allowed it so that way the doctors there at the hospital in Cincinnati were able to help him. You know, obviously he's still got a long journey ahead, but to at least, you know, get to a point where, you know, their nerves are working again and there's at least hope that, hey, there could be a light at the end of the tunnel. That's just, an absolute miracle what's happened over the last few days.
Absolutely. A lot of people deserve a lot of kudos. Recognizing his family is a huge boost for everybody. And 99.89% of everybody that was following it, writing about it, talking about it was great. You always have a couple of ding-dongs looking to, you know, try to make themselves bigger than what they are. But I think it helped. I think I actually think that it gave the NFL a little bit of street cred. And it's not just the NFL, the corporation, the shield, and money-making. It actually showed they had a little bit of heart.
Well...
And then it went away.
See, that I'm not so sure about, mainly because we don't really know what exactly happened as far as, like, who said what about it, there being five minutes warm-ups or whatever. But I will say I think Zach Taylor and Sean McDermott, the two head coaches, they read the room, if you will, and they just realized there's no way that game could continue. And the one thing I will give the NFL credit on is how they've handled things since in the last few days. And, you know, there wasn't going to be a fair scenario. And ideally, you know, maybe you could have thrown the idea out there of resuming the game next week and then just pushing the rest of the playoffs back a week, since there were going to be 2 weeks between the championship games and the Super Bowl anyway. And you could just cut the bye week out. But at this point, it's just like, you got to be able to go on with the season. And, you know, is it unfortunate that it could be something where Kansas City and Buffalo could potentially meet at a neutral site now as opposed to at Arrowhead or in Orchard Park? Probably, but it wasn't something where it's like, okay, the Bills weren't able to get in that game because one of their players suffered an injury that you never see. Like, that's something that, like, I don't even know how to put it, because I feel when we watch sports, especially when we watch football, we're conditioned for certain injuries to take place, you know, guys like injuring their knees or maybe as recently concussions, although I think we've gotten better about that over the last few years. But that's something, what happened Monday night, that's something you never see, like, maybe once in like a couple of decades, if that. And like I said before, I'm just glad that above all else that he's okay and that he's slowly but surely making a recovery as opposed to what the alternative could have been.
And I think I agree with you. I think Zach Taylor came out of this really good, very passionate, and sticking by his buddy. I think Coach Sean McDermott came out even bigger. I mean, when you watch him when he's coaching, he's so stoic. Yeah. And when he was talking about that, he got to see him and they were doing a FaceTime and he knew it was going to happen, and the smile that's on his face. I mean, I think it changed his life and probably for the better. And it's such a great story.
Yeah. And I also real quickly just want to commend Josh Allen as well for what he said yesterday, basically unprompted, where he brought up the fact that, okay, T. Higgins was involved in that play, but he said, he shouldn't have, no one should be blaming him for what happened. That was not his fault. Like, that, again, that's something that you're no one's conditioned to see that in any sport, let alone football.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that had to be weighing on T. Higgins' mind, like, from Monday night on. And just to hear that, it's reassuring to know, okay, everyone knows what happened. And at this point, it's just a matter of DeMar Hamlin's health above all else.
Once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at DB Stiles on Twitter. Okay, let's jump into this game last night between with the Hawkeyes and Indiana. Before we do that, just your quick take. I mean, Scott and I talked a lot about Patrick McCaffrey and what it takes to do something like that. How his teammates stepped up, how his brother stepped up, how his father stepped up. Just talk about that real quick, and then you can jump right into what you thought of the game.
All
last night.
Well. Yeah, I guess starting off with Patrick, I commend him for being able to recognize that a situation that he's been dealing with, it was starting to get worse for him. And he just the fact that he had the wherewithal to be like, hey, I need to step aside and take care of myself first and foremost. I think that's something that's incredibly commendable. And, you know, whenever he comes back, you welcome him back, like I'm sure the team will. And, it's just one of those situations where you don't want to see anybody going through something like that, but when they do, you want to make sure that they have the proper space that they need and to give them as much time as they need, so that way that they're able to get through whatever they need to go, whatever they need to deal with, and that way they can come back in a better place. As far as the game last night, my goodness, I guess first of all, it's the fact that it started out the way it did. You had you thinking, oh boy, this is going to be more of the same that you've been seeing the last 2 weeks, or really struggling on defense. That was something that I know I talked with you about as like a calling card at this team, or that I thought would be a calling card at this team when the season began, and it's been anything but the last few weeks. However, you got to also give those guys credit and Fran credit for the way they were able to respond from, I think it was 28-7 at one point.
Yep.
There in the first half, to be able to come back from that and to make, even make it a game going into halftime, and then to continue showing that and resolve in the second half and be able to pull off a win like that, like they did, is just really incredible. I will say, though, we got quite the fireworks afterwards there between the comments that Mike Woodson made after the game regarding what happened. It looked like the officials were looking to call technical, but they're claiming that the technical should have been on Fran and he should have been ejected. I've heard things about saying maybe that technical was on Indiana's assistant that was yelling at Fran and then it got rescinded. But whatever it was, just the way Woodson reacted to that, and then seeing what Connor McCaffrey was saying after the game as well, it definitely has you excited for near the end of the season when they play again in Bloomington at the end of February.
And I agree with you. And Fran, his getting technicals in Fran is what helps these teams. They've never really hurt the team. It kind of gets them going. And talking about the defense just really quick, you know, if that game was at Indiana last night and it was started that way,
they would have got run out.
They were going to get run out of the gym. They have to figure out a way to be more aggressive or just buying into playing defense, or they're not going to be able to have that comeback, keep coming back like that. And the other thing that just mystifies me is I understand that they have a lot of talent on this team. I don't know how Chris Murray got 18 shots last night if you're Indiana and you're up 21. I would have double-teamed him the rest of the game and said, everybody else on this team can beat me but him. But he's good enough to get around that sometimes. But they just kept one-on-one in him, and I didn't understand. That's just bad coaching.
Well, and to address the first point that you were making there, they could very easily get run out of the gym on Sunday by Rutgers, who's having a really good season to this point. They just won at Purdue.
So ironic.
And that's going to be a really tough road game for them this on Sunday in Piscataway. But, you know, and to the bigger point, like you can't keep falling into holes like that. Yep. I will say, I think the one major takeaway that could be a positive is they may have found a lineup to close with at the end of games. And you saw the impact that Connor had on the game. You saw what Philip Rabach has had, not just on that game last night, but the entire season, and just knowing that, okay, you don't have to be completely reliant on Chris Murray, because I think that was a concern at one point in this season. But seeing where, you know, some of these other guys have been able to develop, you have at least a few other options that you can maybe rely on if, let's say, you do face an opponent that does what you said Indiana should have did with regards to double teaming him.
Yeah, and I think Peyton Sanford is a big part of this, and his offense isn't there yet, but his defense and how he's stepped up on defense and is playing better defense, that's gonna work well for him. And it's kind of funny that Fran kind of mentioned that he's got to get a certain player a little bit more playing time.
Yeah, you're talking about Josh Dick.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean he was productive when he saw the floor last night as well. So it's one of those situations where they definitely have guys that they can rely on, and I think that that's an encouraging sign. But it's got to be something. The one thing that I could see being a concern is you end up playing the players that I did mention there with Chris and Phillip and Connor. You end up playing them too many minutes, and it ends up being something that, you know, later in the season could have a major impact. But for right now, I think you got to just do whatever it takes to be able to get victories. And if that means you got to ride those guys 35 to 40 minutes, so be it.
Chicago Bears need to, I mean, do they care if they have the number one pick? I mean, they don't want a quarterback unless they're trading out of it.
I'll say this. I'm confident that Ethan Peterman will be just as accurate throwing the ball to Minnesota Viking players on Sunday as Kirk Cousins. Yeah. the big question really is, does Houston end up beating Indy on Sunday? Because I think that that's actually a winnable game for the Texans.
I think it is, too.
And if it is, now you're this is what I would say with regard to the Bears, assuming they don't, you know, end up beating Minnesota somehow this weekend. If they're going to either have the first or second pick, if they have the first pick, I think you have to still do, even with Justin Fields, you still have to do your due diligence on guys like Bryce Young and CJ Stroud. But I think ultimately you would end up trading out of that, and hopefully you're not too far back, because you still want to get some impact guys possibly on defense, or, you know, an offensive lineman to help protect Justin. But if it ends up being something where they end up staying there at two, and let's say Houston's still there at one and they take Bryce Young, then I think it's somebody like a Will Anderson or a Jalen Carter who would have an immediate impact on that defense. Because either Will Anderson, you're getting somebody who can get pressure on the quarterback, you're getting that pass rusher that you desperately need and that you haven't had since you traded Robert Quinn, or you're getting a guy like Jalen Carter who, in that particular scheme, the Tampa 2, he could basically be like what Warren Sapp was for the Bucs, or even what Tommy Harris was when he was healthy for Lovie Smith back when the Bears were kind of in their heyday under Lovie and got to the Super Bowl. That's, I think, the potential for somebody like Jalen Carter. And you'll get to see him Monday night in the national championship. But I feel like if you get that first pick and you're able to trade back and still get one of those two guys I mentioned, plus maybe say that offensive tackle from Northwestern, Skoronski, that would be huge.
Yep,
because you're not only addressing your defense, but you're also getting Justin some protection. And you know that they're going to probably still try to get a receiver as well. I don't think it's something that they're going to address early in the draft, but they'll probably end up getting another guy in the draft at some point. And if that trade ends up including a second-round pick as well, maybe that's where you end up getting it, because they traded their second-round pick to Pittsburgh in the deal they did to get Chase Claypool.
Right, and I think that Stroud and Young might throw the ball a little bit more accurate, but they are not Justin Fields. So
no,
I would be extremely happy. Now you have – it's Ryan – all my trust in Ryan Pace, right? He's got to go out and he's got to get the right free agents. He's got
Ryan Poles.
He has to get the right, you know, he has to get the right kind of player to come in there and play. So it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Absolutely.
Gosh, what else do we have?
Real quick, national championship.
Yes. What do you got?
I'm going to say Georgia wins 45-28. Listen, TCU is a great story, and the fact that they beat Michigan is something that they should definitely be proud of. Georgia's a totally different animal, and I think that they basically got a second life there after narrowly beating Ohio State like they did, and I think that they're going to end up taking advantage of that. And this is one of those games that, as great a story as TCU is, if you're just being realistic, I don't know how they're going to match up with Georgia.
Yeah, you get Georgia with knowing that they didn't play well. That's going to be interesting. B, thanks a lot, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. All right, sounds good. Talk to you next time.
B Styles. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. One more segment.
Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Friday. Hope everybody had a good time. Safely driving home. Enjoy the weekend. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day right here on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. You can check us out on Twitter at Steen on Sports and at 1700 The Champ. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Website, 1700thechamp.com. I'll have all this week's shows up on podcast worthy, put them up on Audio Boom. You can download them wherever you're at. I'll maybe even try to get those done tonight. I want to thank Maddie Nelson and Brendan Stiles for coming in today. It was nice to get to talk to them. We're kind of working our way back in through the holidays and everything. Get a almost had a full week this week. Have a full week next week. Get Martin Luther King Day off. But we're rolling now. We got playoffs coming up. We got the championship game, coming up as well. So a lot of things to look forward to. The last week, of the NFL. So all kinds of things going on. This segment is going to be brought to you by Des Moines Orthopedic Centers, DMOS, helping you get back to living through orthopedic care. Three locations, 6001 Westtown Parkway, West Des Moines, 1301 Penn Avenue, Suite 213, Des Moines, 350 Northeast 36th Street, Ankeny, Iowa. Services include foot, ankle, hand therapy, hip, knee, shoulder, spine, sports med, sports rehab, trauma, and urgent injury. Urgent injury clinics are at both Ankeny and West Des Moines locations. No appointment needed. Look up wait times online at dmos.com. Hours are Monday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to noon at West Des Moines. Ankeny is Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3, Saturdays, 8 to noon. The difference between urgent care and emergency rooms is the severity of the health problem. If the condition is life-threatening, go to the emergency room. If the condition is something, a minor illness or injury, maybe a sports injury, you hurt your hand, your wrist, you broke a finger, you can go to urgent clinics, DMOS urgent clinics in both Ankeny and West Des Moines. New to DMOS is Engineer Performance by DMOS, world-class sports rehab and performance training center in central Iowa, 1711 Southwest Plaza Parkway in Ankeny, Iowa. That's a great read, but it's a long read. Okay. Just to do, we'll do a week-long kind of recap. After watching the football game on Sunday and seeing what happened to DeMar Hamlin, I went to bed a mess, just not believing. And how did this happen? It didn't look like it was any different than every other and all those things. And the next day, still not hearing anything. And the next day, still not hearing anything. And to come to today, where he gets the breathing tube out, he wrote a note yesterday. He FaceTimed the Buffalo Bills today, gave him a heart, gave him his pat and his bicep like he normally does. Great kid. Prayers for him and his family. Just seeing him and getting to understand him and getting to know him, the type of person he is, he's going to be fine. I don't know if we're all going to be fine. I don't know how his teammates are going to be, but he's going to make sure that everybody understands that he's going to be fine. And the first thing that he has to do is try to figure out how in the world he's going to deliver $8 million worth of Christmas presents across the world, the country. Who knows? What a problem to have for this young man. And so happy for the Buffalo Bills, all their staff, all their fans, their hospital, everything. For the Cincinnati Bengals, for being there, having their back, caring, loving, and everything that they did. To the NFL, you know what? You didn't mess it up. And that's good for a big corporate that has billionaires for owners, understanding, some of the lighter things in life. I think it was okay. And as a whole, I think, this is a sports and TV talk radio, talk TV, all these shows and everything. You got to see people actually act like they really are. Dan Orlovsky is a great guy. You can see that. He's an intellectual guy. He has fun. He loves what he's doing. He stepped out of his comfort zone. And it may be his comfort zone at home, in church, at different places. But to step outside of it on live TV, I commend him for that. And thankful that people backed him up. And that gets me excited that there are times when we're very cynical. I remember one of my favorite movies. It's a very cynical world that we live in. But even at that point, there's always something that can bring us together. Maybe not forever, maybe for not very long, but there's always something out there. And I think this young man might happen to be one of those. And I think once he gets better and he's able to communicate better and get out in the public eye a little bit more, people are going to find out who he is, what he is, and they're going to go, wow, that is a special young man that has special talents that he's using that we didn't even know about. And I think that's a great thing. you know, some of the bigger things that happened this weekend, this week, you know, then you have the opposite side of that. You have Chris Beard who did something that you cannot do. And even though charges, who knows where the charges are going to be, but Texas came out and said, it's not the fact if you are charged or not charged. It's the fact that you were in that situation. And we have a big, big, big time sports atmosphere conglomerate here at Texas, and we can't have that. And I applaud them for what they did and how quickly they did. I think they saved $35 million, but to be really truthful with you, $35 million to the University of Texas sports program probably isn't that big of the deal. Something that I've talked about today, but maybe I'm not enough, man, it's a big deal. South Dakota State, North Dakota State. This is South Dakota State's looking for their first, and North Dakota State's on like looking for their 10th since 2011. So what a game that's going to be. Jim Harbaugh, you know, all week or for the past 2 or 3 weeks, you know, speculation coming from him and then saying, no, I think I want to get to Michigan. And then you find out today that Michigan's under investigation and for something that he has done and they have done. I hope that it gets taken care of and we can try to figure out, you know, if you took a recruit, you don't know who the recruit is and you don't know, but if he was hungry and he needed a hamburger, he didn't buy him a Lamborghini. He bought him a hamburger. There has to be common sense when you're doing things. You also have to have common sense, folks, in what Patrick McCaffrey is going through. It was nice to see him in street clothes on the bench last night. When you have a dilemma in your life that people don't understand, and in fact you don't understand, sometimes it's not the easiest thing in the world to come out and talk about that. I think we all struggle with that. I struggle with it. It's so funny how if the happier and the better mood I'm in, the more spring in my step, the more talkative I am, the more engaged I am, and all those things. But when you let little things, and I think that's one of my things is I let little things turn into big things and take me out of my norm of being what most people think is a happy, jolly dude, you know, and Patrick is this amazing athlete that's fought through cancer, done all these things, got to the highest level, performed at the highest level, and he doesn't have an answer for why I'm not happy and why I don't sometimes want to get out of bed and go do the thing that I'm really good at and get accolades for and has been a part of my life forever, and I don't know how to act with my brother, and I don't know how to act with my teammates, and I don't know how to act with my mother and father or my coach or my coaches. It puts a lot of stress on a 21, 22-year-old. It puts a lot of stress on a 57-year-old when you just don't understand how come you can't be happy. It happens. And you have to systematically work your way through, and that's what he's doing. He has to take himself out of something that he enjoys because he's not enjoying it. And you know, I think this is very therapeutic sometimes to talk on the radio and be able to do that. And man, I've had some ups and downs in the radio business. You know, losing a best friend, you know, losing the radio show, coming back and now having to do it by myself, and you know, can I do this? Can I, you know, weigh all these things together and do that? And I look up to Patrick McCaffrey as a role model, and at 57 I'm looking up to a young man as a role model that can lead us and make us be better, and I think that's really cool. So hope everybody enjoyed this week. We're going to be back next week all week long. Going to have a lot of people coming in and talking, so enjoy. You've been listening to Steen on Sports. Have a great weekend. Drive safe, be safe. See you Monday.